Good morning, everybody. It is so good to be together with you. And as I said before, and Randy translated me, he is such a great translator. We came from Ukraine. Ukraine is a big country, about the size of Texas. I said about just to be safe, because, you know, nothing is bigger than Texas. Somebody told me a story that one Texan farmer visited his friend, you know, German farmer in Germany. And when he saw his farm, he was shocked. And he said, "You call this farm? It's not a farm. In my farm in Texas, I sit in the car in the morning, and I am driving for a whole day till the evening, and I'm still on my property." And German guy looked at him and he said, "You know, I used to have this kind of car." By the way, I love Texas because I graduated Dallas Theological Seminary, so we lived in Dallas, Texas for 4 years. And first of all, I would like to thank you for your prayers, for your love, for your care, for your support. Thank you for that many of you visited us in Ukraine, and it's so grateful to see old friends and familiar faces, and of course, meet new friends. You know, I would like to invite the rest of the body of Christ. You know, if you didn't go to Ukraine yet, welcome. We're glad to have you, and we'll have a ministry together with you. And I'm sorry for my English. English is still Greek to me. You know, different people have different opinions what kind of language we are going to speak in heaven. And I have my personal opinion. I think we are going to speak English. You know why? Because it would take you eternity to learn this language. This morning, I would like to read from the Bible, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, 1. Apostle Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." You know, not long ago, one of the hospitals of former Soviet Union was filled with loud scream of newborn baby. After a few days, this human being was called Igor. It was me. My name was probably the first word that I memorized from the beginning of my life, because my parents called me by my name quite often, sometimes for good, sometimes for trouble. And not only myself, but all of you, you know your names well. And I think you will be confused if somebody will call you by a different name. By the way, did you have this experience before, that somebody called you by a different name, by mistake? Could you raise your hand? Yeah, a few people. I can see it. But did you have this mistake? Did you call somebody by a different name in your life? But you know what most interesting and most important? That God knows our names, and He never mistaken. He always calling us by name. He knows our names well. Not people, but God do. And you know, when we just moved to United States, when I was studying in Dallas Theological Seminary, and then and before that in Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, somehow for Americans it's very difficult to say Lana. Her name is Lana, but somehow it's difficult for them to say Lana. So when we've been in Chicago, everybody called her Elaine. I'm sorry, Helen. And then when we moved to Dallas, Texas, everybody started to call her Elaine. When we visited our friends in Kansas, people called her Ellen. So I'm supposed to be very careful, especially when I'm speaking with somebody on the phone, because one day, you know, one woman called us from Wisconsin, and she said, "How is your wife doing?" And I said, "Elaine is doing fine." She said, "Wait a minute, who is Elaine? I know your wife, Helen. How many wives do you have?" So I have just one wife with multiple names. And you know, during my lifetime, I had lots of different names. Like when I went to school, I received new name, student. When I graduated school and went to army service, I got new name, soldier. When I got married, I received new name, husband. When my daughter was born, I got new name, father. When my grandchildren were born, my wife got new name, grandmother. And not only me, but all of you have different names. And some of you will still have some different names. But you know what interesting is that all of us, we have one similar name. And I would say the most beautiful and most significant and more wonderful name. It's a name, Christians. And the book of Ephesians was written for Christians. And as we read in the beginning, Apostle Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. You know, the word calling in Greek kaleo also could be translated as position or title or vocation or name. So Apostle Paul said that I entreat you to walk in the manner of the name that you have been called. When you read the Bible, you know, and you can see in Old Testament, very often when God called people for ministry, he changed their names. For example, when God called Abram, he changed his name to Abraham. When God called, you know, Jacob, he changed his name to Israel. And it's not true only for Old Testament, but same thing we can see in New Testament. When God called Simon, his disciple, he changed his name to Peter. And even Apostle Paul, who wrote this epistle, before his calling, he had a completely different name. His name was Saul. And similar, when God called us, you, brothers and sisters, he changed our names. He gave us new name, the name Christians. And you know, the first part of the book of Ephesians, from chapter 1 to chapter 3, Apostle Paul talking and reminding us about our position in Christ, that we got new name. He showed us the pictures, who we were before and who we became now. You know, sometimes when people buy old houses and then remodeling them, so they had these two pictures, before and after. And same with us. We have completely different pictures before we came to the Lord and after we came to the Lord. And you know, supposed to be different. If we are born again Christians, supposed to be different before and after. And this is what Apostle Paul said, that we will remember our new name in Christ from chapter 1 to chapter 3. Especially in chapter 2, he showed us these pictures before and after. He said that before, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Before, he said, we were formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh. Before, we were by nature children of wrath. Before, he said that we were separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is what were before. But after, he said, after God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But now, he said, in Christ Jesus, you are formerly were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But now, he said, we are no longer strangers and aliens, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. This is what's happened now. And from chapter 1 to chapter 3, Apostle Paul continued to remind us our position in Christ, that we got new name, and we need to remember this name, because this is most beautiful, most wonderful name in the world. You know, when we read history, we know that lots of Christians in the first century were persecuted, they were murdered, and they were killed by Romans because of this new name, because they never changed this name. They had a choice. You're rejecting your name in Christ, and we'll let you free, or you will keep it and we'll kill you. So all of them, I will say most of them, choose the second option. And they were killed, they were murdered, because this name was more important for them than life. You know, not only in first century, but not long ago in my country, lots of Christians were persecuted by communist government, and lots of pastors and ministers were arrested, and they sent them to prison, and they killed them in prison. When I visited Siberia in Russia, brothers and sisters from the church, they showed me the place in the woods where Christians were killed by soldiers, you know, because they were believers. And this is incredible to see this place. To see this place that is testimony, it's like a live testimony of those brothers and sisters who were faithful to the Lord. They remember their new name in Christ, and they never rejected this name, even to death. You know, my wife's grandfather, he became to be a Christian from German Mennonites, and he opened his house so Christians can gather together. So his house was like a house church, and they were gathering together for the many years. Finally, you know, atheistic government, they arrested him for that, and they gave him death penalty. So he spent a few months in isolation room, and every night soldiers would come with flashlight and just randomly pointed on somebody and took him out and killed outside. So you never know who would be next. And this is why till the rest of his life he was afraid of flashlight, because every time when he saw flashlight, it brought him all these memories. And one day soldiers came and pointed on him, and they took him out, and they were convoyed him to the woods to kill. An officer was started to talk to him, and he asked him questions. He said, "Why they gave you death penalty?" And he said, "Because I'm a Christian." He said, "Really? My mother is a Christian too." So he walked to the office, and he had some connections, and he changed his punishment from death penalty to the 10 years in prison. And after that, they put him on a train, and this was like a cattle train, and lots of prisoners were inside this train, and doors were locked, and they didn't have much food, they didn't have water, they were drinking water that would come in during the rains through the cracks in the ceilings, and some people were dying and still inside the train, and infection would spread, and because of Second World War, train was moving so slowly, and it's a long distance from Ukraine to far Russia, it's about 10,000 miles trip, and it took them about 3 months to go there. And during this time, when they arrived, from few thousands of prisoners, only a few hundred survived. And he was one of them. And then he spent 10 years in this prison. It's very hard work and very cold weather, but God protected him because he was faithful to the Lord, because he never rejected his new name in Christ. You know, here in America, you have different remote controls for different things. You have remote control for TV. You have remote control for garage doors. Some people have remote control for lights, for fireplaces. I know that some wives wish to have remote control for their husbands and husbands for their wives. But remote control of our life is not in our friends' hands, and it's not in our enemies' hands, and it's not in our hands, but it's in the hands of God. And it's up to Him when He will push a stop button. My wife's father, grandfather, he lived long life. He passed away at the age of 95. He came back home, and can you believe he was born during the Tsar's time when they were driving horse buggies? And in one person's life, he saw all this technology, you know, and trains and airplanes and cars and computers and internet and Facebook, you know, everything came in the one person, you know, life. He lived a long life because God protected him. He lived in the most insecure place. He lived in the most insecure time. But God protected him because He Himself was his security system. Because he trusted to the Lord and he remembered his new name in Christ and he never changed his name. You know, from another hand, my grandmother, she became to be a believer when she was 80 years old. In a few years, she lost her memories and she forget everything. She forget every single name in the world. She had a large family and she didn't remember any names of her children. She even forget her own name. When people will call her by name, she will never respond it because she just didn't remember that this is her name. One day, pastor visited her and he talked to her and he said, "Sister, do you remember the name of Jesus Christ?" And she said, "Of course I remember Him. He is my Savior and my Lord. I am going to Him." You can see when she forgets everything in the world, when she forgets every single name, include her own, she still remembered the name of Christ because this name was most precious, most beautiful, most wonderful for her, the name of all names. And this is why Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians, from chapter 1 to chapter 3, he would like us to encourage us to remember our new name in Christ, to remember our position in Christ, that we got new name, new calling, new vocation, new purpose in life. However, he is not talking about just to remember our new name in Christ, but from chapter 4, to chapter 6, he is talking about not just our position in Christ, but also our performance for Christ. So we will not just remember our new name, but he said he would like us to live according to this name. You know, when I was a boy and I was studying in school, my father told me that my name is not only my name, but it's also include his name as well. Because in our culture, all children have second name and it's always their father's name. Like, for example, my father's name is Michael, so my second name is Michael. Even girls, they would have as a second name their father's name, so everybody know who is your father. So my full name would be Igor Michael Yaremchuk. So my father explained to me that when I have good behavior in school, when I have good grades in school, I honor in his name because everybody know who is my father. But when I have bad behavior in school, when I have bad grades in school, I dishonor in my father because everybody know him. You know, I understood this truth very well, especially after being spanked a number of times. You know, it helps memory somehow, I don't know. There is a connection. But in the same way, we need to remember that we are carrying the name of Christ. If we are Christians, the word Christian includes the name Christ. So we are carrying the name of Christ. And people around us, they know that we are Christians. And if we will live according to this name, if we will obey God, if we will keep His commandments, if we will do it in our life as He would like us to do, we will honor His name. But if we are not obeying God, if we are breaking His commandments, if we are living in our own way, not in His way, we will dishonor His name. Because people know we are Christians. We are carrying His name. And this is why Apostle Paul said, he didn't say, I recommend you. He didn't say it would be good if you. He didn't say that I even command you. But he said, I entreat you. I beg you, please, if you receive this new name in Christ, this wonderful name, beautiful name, most significant name. Thousands of Christians were killed because of this name. If you got this name, please live according to this name. You know, when we arrived to the United States of America for the first time, my friends gave me a tour, and they showed me different places. And I remember one day we went to the mall. And in front of one store, they had a table and beautiful vase on this table. And they had lots of apples in this vase. But next to the vase on the table, they had a note. And in this note was written, please, don't try to bite these apples because they are not real. And you know, I was surprised. Because when I took one apple, it feels like it's real. It looks like it's real. It even smells like it's real. But it's fake. It's not real. It's artificial. And you know, I thought, you know, it's so sad that so many people in the world who call themselves Christians, and they look like Christians, and they walk like Christians, and they speak like Christians, and they're going to the real church, and they're singing in the real choir, and they're playing real musical instruments, and they're teaching real children in real Sunday school classes. But some of them are not real. They're fake to the bone. And this is why Apostle Paul, in this epistle, he is emphasizing. It's like a key word of whole epistle, you know, epistle of Ephesians. And he said, please, I beg you, if you receive this new name in Jesus, please live according to this name. I remember I read a story about one young soldier of Alexander the Great army. This young man had a dream. He wanted to see his commander. He liked to meet him in personal way because he saw him from distance, but he never had a chance to meet him in personal way. So he had this dream. One night he was standing on the guard, and because it was a beautiful night, very warm and quiet, and he was exhausted, so he fell asleep. And when he was woke up by other guards, you know, other soldiers, it was a great, you know, big crime for Greek soldier, because usually, you know, if people got sleep on the guard, it was punished by death penalty. So he was convoyed, and they escorted him to the residence of Alexander the Great. From one hand, his dream came true. He will see the king. But from another hand, he was embarrassed and ashamed because he will meet him as a criminal. You know, Alexander the Great was a great commander. This is why they call him great. And when he started to talk with this young man, he was talking to him in a very friendly voice. And he asked him questions about his background, where he came from, and what he was doing before he became to be a soldier, and why he decided to be a soldier in his army. He asked him different questions, and the young man was answering all these questions, and suddenly he felt comfortable around his commander, and his fear gone. Then Alexander the Great asked him another question. He said, "I'm sorry, I forget to ask you in the beginning, what is your name?" And this young man answered with pride. He said, "My name, exactly as yours, Your Majesty, my name is Alexander." Suddenly, the face of Alexander the Great was changed. His eyes were filled with anger, and he stood up from his throne, and he looked at him, and he said, "Then change your behavior, or change your name." Change your behavior, or change your name. Dear brothers and sisters, we receive Jesus as our personal Savior. We are Christians. We are carrying the name of Christ. And this is the most beautiful, most significant, most wonderful name in the world. And if we don't like to change it, God would like us to live according to this name. Because there are only two options: to change or to live. To glorify God or to change your name. And this is why Apostle Paul said, as we read in the beginning, that we got this new name, and let us live according to this name. This is the word of God. Thus said the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for this privilege to be together, so we can worship you, so we can learn from you, from your word. And thank you, Lord, for this remembering, for helping us to understand how it's important to remember this new name that we got in you, most wonderful name. We received this name for free, but it wasn't for free for you. For you, it was very expensive because it cost you a lot. And help us to remember our new name in Christ, and help us not only remember, but live according to this name that you gave us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Lord, for everything what you're doing in our lives. And we'd like to ask your blessing upon all of these people in this church, on our families, our children, grandchildren, and your name would glorify forever. We are asking in Jesus' name, amen.